México.
The Mexican Navy's tall ship, the Cutmaton, is in Dublin for the weekend. One of the largest tall ships in the world, she's open to the public until Monday evening, and earlier I took a look around her for seascapes. As the Cutmaton was docking in Sir John Rogerson's quay, whistles are how the watch officers send their orders to the mast crews working on sails high overhead. And because music is such a part of Mexican culture, when she's in port, music plays the whole time. So I started my tour down below in the relative silence, where I was shown about by two cadets.
We are at the Cuauhtémoc tow ship. This is part of the Mexican Navy. This is a training ship. I'm the cadet Pedro Azael Armendariz Arellano. Yes, we are right now in Dublin.
You've just arrived. It's dawn. Where have you come from?
We just came from Hamburg, Germany. And this is part of our training trip. We've been in different countries from around Europe. And yeah.
How's your trip been from Hamburg? It's been fairly windy along the way.
Yeah, it was a lot of wind. Yeah, it was more than expected. It was a 7-day trip. But yeah, it was...
You've maybe 28 knots.
More than that, more. We got more than that. Even we got more than 30 knots. Yeah. Well, imagine us. We are the one who climbs to the top. And we were climbing yesterday with a lot of wind. Yeah, it was crazy, but yeah, it's a nice adventure.
Yeah. Where have you been so far, and how long have you been?
We just started this trip on May. We've been like in Canada, Northern Ireland, England, France, Germany, Norway, Denmark, Holland. We've been in different countries, so yeah. And this is not just the end. We'll be in Colombia and Panama.
Hi, I am the fifth grade cadet. Laura Carolina Flores Arellano. I am from Mexico City, and this tall ship is a school ship from the Naval Academy. We are, as cadets, studying in the Naval Academy 4 years, and then we came here. We study the first semester of our fifth grade. Then we come back to school, we get graduated. So this place is a huge opportunity for us to learn how to be like a real Marine and to practice all the things that we have been learning at school.
Fifth grade cadet, is that high or low?
It's the highest in the school. So it's like we now are about to end up with all the career, and then we can be part of the Navy in Mexico and we can serve our country.
You're about to graduate. And where will you go after you graduate?
After, we go to different places or ships in the Navy of Mexico. So we practice a year. And then we go back to school and we present an exam for being lieutenants.
Tell me something about the ship.
Well, this ship have been built in Bilbao, España. It's called Cuauhtémoc. Cuauhtémoc, yeah. It was the name of the last emperor of the empire that was in Mexico before the Spain people go to conquest.
Built in Bilbao, how big is she?
It's 90 meters, and this is one of the tall ships that was built in there, like the one of Colombia, El Gloria. They're like brothers, because they're built with the same characteristics.
You've got three tall masts. How many people do you have on board?
We are 268 people.
You sailed from Hamburg?
Yeah, we sailed from Hamburg. We last 1 week sailing, and then we arriving here.
Okay, the weather wasn't great. It was a bit windy.
It was windy, but it was really great because on the afternoon, it was not that cold, so we can make exercise outside and we can make all the activities that we have without problem.
Now, I see you're wearing a harness. Do you climb the masts?
Yeah, this is for our security. When we climb, we always have to use it. And we use gloves too.
Ordinary musto or Harken sailing gloves, yeah. That everybody has.
Yeah, we have to use it because the security in here is the first thing. we are cadets and we are studying for being officers, so we have to learn all the things that we have for then to teach all the tripulation.
What kind of ship do you think you'll go to?
Well, I hope to go to an interceptor ship first for being officer in there to learn all the things that we have to make to protect the coast of Mexico. And then I will want to go to, I don't know, a bigger ship, like an oceanic one. And in the future, I hope to come back to the Cuauhtémoc, but as an officer.
Now, I'm going to ask you, both of you, to show me around.
Okay,
this is your mess, as we call it.
Yeah, and we also have dinner, breakfast, lunch here when we spend most of the time.
How is the food on board?
Actually, it's really good. Yeah, it's really good.
The food in here, it is like the things that make us feel as home. Like, it doesn't matter where we are, we always have Mexican food in here. So if you don't want to eat something outside, you can come back to the toy ship. It doesn't even matter if you are at the port, and then enjoy. Like, we have there the menu, you can see it.
Okay.
And we know what is going to be for breakfast or for dinner.
That's so very important.
You can come.
Yeah. And also we have, classroom. This is a training toy ship. We are not just like sailing. We have classes, typical classes from our school. So, yeah, this is a study. Like, you have two classrooms.
Astronomical navigation, electronical navigation. We have those topics. And in here, we have two classrooms. And this place can be a classroom, too. We have a screen from the projector. Mm-hmm. So if the space is not enough, because we are 82 cadets, we're a lot of people, we can study in the three ports of this.
Yeah, we managed to use the space. This is a small ship comparable to the people that we are here, but yeah, we managed to control our space. Yeah.
In here, we divide the tall ship in three parts. In the front part, we have the dorms of the girls, and in the other side of the officers that are part of the Navy, but they are not from the Naval Academy. And in the middle part is like the dorms of the cadets that are men's. And in the back part are the officers and the captains of the tow ship.
How many men, how many women?
Well, we are 283 people in the tow ship and we are 22 women.
Now, we have come up a deck and there's music playing.
Yeah, there's always... this is the mission of this ship is to send the message of peace to the other countries, of friendship and peace. So we are just trying to give some of Mexico, part of Mexico, and big part of Mexico is the music. It's really characteristic here. So
this is going to go the whole time you're in port.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, if people visit us, they are going to hear good music of Mexico for sure.
There are different type of maneuverings here, the ship. There's three type of maneuverings, you know, the back, here, the center, and in the front. As you can see, there's a lot of men climbing right now. They're setting the sails to you know, make the ship presentable. And it's cleaning. You will see, there's a lot of golden medals. All the cadets and part of the crew, we polish all the medals every day.
Okay, so it's bronze or copper or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's polished every day?
When we are on port, yeah. We polish every day all the medals. Okay. And you will see a lot of golden medals here, so yeah.
Now, how tall are the masts? There are people right up on top.
It's 48 meters tall, yeah. Okay.
What's it like up there?
It's different every day, because right now it's really easy to climb to the top, but yesterday it was like 35 knots, and we were climbing, and we were setting the sails to be ready for tomorrow, well, for today, right, actually. Yeah, it's different. Each day is different. We sometimes have bad weather, we sometimes have good weather, but yeah, you get used to climbing to the top, yeah.
How many sails do you have?
We have 23 sails. Yeah, okay. And they are divided in the three masts. In the front part, we have five that are like the triangle ones, five in both of the sticks, three in the middle, three in the back and the two of the Mesana one.
Do you ever use all the sails together at one time?
Yeah, we most of the time use all the sails, but it depends on the wind. Like if we have a lot of wind, we use less sails.
Sure. Or when you're going against the wind, does it perform well against the wind because it's got square sails?
Yeah, when we have the wind like against us, we don't put the sails. Or most of the time...
You don't put the square sails.
Yeah. Or most of the time we can move the sticks. So yeah. That gave us a kind of an opportunity. But if it's in the front of us, we don't use the sails.
How long are you spending in Dublin?
We are going to be in here 5 days. Yeah, the tall ship is open for every person that wants to come, and they can visit the tall ship, and if they come and speak with us, we can give them a kind of little tour for the tall ship. All the people that want to come, it is open for all Dublin.
Okay. So, welcome to Dublin, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much, and have a nice day.
His Excellency Miguel Mafavón is Mexican ambassador to Dublin. And having the Cuttamuck here is a big occasion for him.
It is a very unique occasion. We have, it's a pleasure for us to have the Mexican emblematic ship that is visiting Dublin. This is the fifth time that they are coming to Dublin. Every 4 years or so, they are able to come, and they are coming with a message of friendship and goodwill. And it's just to reinforce that Mexico and Ireland, we are together in so many challenges, and we are together in looking forward in increasing our bilateral relations. And it's the best way of getting in contact and bring together Mexican and Irish communities.
She's here for a number of days. You're expecting many visitors.
Absolutely. They are coming in a very, very good time because they are arriving today, and they will stay till Tuesday morning that they will be departing. But they will be open as of tomorrow, and they will be open from 11 o'clock till 8 p.m. in the afternoon. And so we have the whole weekend to bring the families, and they will be open to everyone. It's the access is free for everyone. So hopefully they could come and enjoy the Mexican ship.
What will people see if they come here?
They will see the strength of Mexico. They will see the courage of these sailors. And on this occasion, they are traveling, they are visiting 16 ports in 12 different nations. So they will be traveling all around North Europe. So then they have the possibility to come and see and bring a little bit of Mexico to this part of the world.
Open, free to the public.
Absolutely, completely free, and they are more than welcome to come, be able to come and enjoy a little bit of Mexico. Hopefully we can have a good weather for everybody to come and enjoy it.
Captain Carlos Gorraiz, commanding officer of the Cuauhtémoc tall ship.
We've just been discussing how do you become the captain of a ship like this. Every person in the Navy in the world would envy you.
And I just said, is this a good question? I would like to think that it was somebody chose me well. It was a long process. First, I was here as a cadet in 1997. After a while, I was here also in 2005 and 2006 as a junior officer and officer on watch. So I acquired a little bit more experience about it. And in 2017, I was chosen as an XO. Executive officer of the ship. So after 2 years, 2017-2018, I was executive officer, and now since 2019, I am the captain of the ship. So the process is long and the career is long, but I like to think that I do have the experience too.
You've been all around the world, circumnavigate.
Yes, I have been actually two times. I have done two circumnavigation. One in 2006, it was a circumnavigation, but in the South Hemisphere. It was all South America, South Africa, Australia. And in 2017, I did another one, but this time in the north part of the world. It was visiting the European countries, the India and ASEAN countries. Yeah.
Congratulations. Welcome to Dublin.
Thank you very much. We are very looking forward to meet the city, and we are really happy to be here again.
And the Cutamach is in Dublin city centre, open free to the public. You should get a long visit if you can. Another event on this weekend and all next week is the Subaru Flying 15s World Championship being held in Dunleary. Flying 15s are hugely popular two-person boats and nearly 80 of them are taking part in the Worlds. I was in the National Yacht Club earlier to hear about the event.
I'm Niall Marr and I'm the event chairman for the 22nd Flying 15 World Championships here in the National Yacht Club.
You're on all weekend. How many boats do you have? What size is the event?
So we had an original entry of 77 boats. You're 150 competitors from all nations. So we're Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Spain, France, Great Britain, Ireland. So the event actually, we've had the pre-worlds over the last 3 days, which is the Championship of Ireland. So that was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, under the guidance of Jack Roy, our chief race officer. So it's two races Friday, two Saturday, two Sunday, two Monday. We've a day off on Tuesday to get our strength back. And then we're Wednesday, Thursday, Friday back at it and finish on Friday evening.
A long event. How many races?
So it's a total of 11 races, typically two a day and then finishing up with one a day with the lay day in the middle. The fantastic thing about the Flying 15 is that you have professional sailors and they'll either be sail makers or boat builders or coaches. And then you have the Corinthians, like myself, who have a day job and we just really enjoy sailing. So you have both sides of the coin. And the competition, I have to say, will be absolutely fierce. There'll be no love lost, but by the same token, sailing is it's a self-policing sport. So if you cause an infringement, it's up to you to admit it yourself quickly and do your turns. But the competition now on the water and throughout the event will be very fierce.
Jack Roy, Irish Sailing Association, you're also a race officer for the event. It's 70, nearly 80 boats. It's a lot of boats to handle.
It is. It's a challenging program with 10 days on the water, over 70 boats. So we have a team of nearly 30 people on the water to run the racing. And so far in the pre-worlds, we had two great days of weather. We lost Wednesday due to too much wind, but looking forward to the next 7 days, I think we're going to have some great racing on Dublin Bay.
What's the forecast like for you for the next few days, next week?
Next week is looking good. Sunday's looking a bit light. There's high pressure, which suits everybody other than sailors, with a lack of wind. But other than that, it's looking like we're going to have good breeze, which is great. And it's why the event, one of the reasons the event was put in September, because the last time we had it here, which I was involved in also in 2003, we had fog and no wind for days on end. So we moved out of July into September for better wind.
We're here in the National Yacht Club. Is this a new pontoon they put almost right under into the harbour?
Yeah, there's a whole new pontoon structure there to accommodate the boats. It's a great facility. And I think what you're seeing there, Fergal, is a cooperation and collaboration with Dunleary Right Down County Council, which is really key.
They now run the harbour.
They now, of course, run the harbour since earlier this year. And it's absolutely key and a major step forward as far as Irish sailing is concerned in Dunleary of running international events to have the cooperation of the County Council and now with the full cooperation within the harbour of them as well. It's really important for Irish sailing to be seen abroad as an international venue, both for its hospitality, its weather, its facilities and its race management expertise.
And competitors have come from all over the world.
I'm Scott Peterson from Naples Sailing Club in New Zealand.
You've come here especially for this event. Tell me why you came all the way across the world.
We're really keen on the experience. We sailed in Napier in the Worlds last year in a silver boat and we did pretty well. We got sixth out of 50 odd boats and we really enjoyed the experience. And we were sitting around a couple of beverages one night and we decided, hey, why don't we go out and go over to the Worlds in Ireland. The guys over there came over to Napier and we were really pleased with their effort to do that and we wanted to sort of reciprocate and come back.
You didn't bring your own boat? What are you doing for a boat?
We're chartering one from the local club. We tried to get our boat over here, but the four guys that were keen to bring their boats over from New Zealand in a container to make it financially viable all pulled out, so left us with just our decision to come. And we'd made that decision, we wanted to stick by it, so Chris helped us find a boat locally, and that's worked out well.
What are the conditions going to be like for you during the week, and how will they differ from where you sail normally?
Yeah, Napier in the North Island in New Zealand, over on the east coast. We're used to probably 10 to 12 knots of breeze. It's a lot warmer over there, so the breeze is a lot lighter, and 10 to 12 knots here is probably closer to 20 in New Zealand. So we're hoping for a pretty light regatta. We've already experienced some heavy breeze, and we're sort of pretty keen for some nice light stuff.
How are you finding Dunleary so far?
Very good. Can't say enough about the people that we've met since we've been here. We've been here since last Monday trying to get the boat up to scratch and prepared, ready for the regatta so we could give it our best shot. And everyone here has just been amazing to help us out and get that boat rigged up and sorted. And can't say enough.
Chris Dooley is one of the main organisers for the National Yacht Club of the Subaru World Championships.
Many of us have been to many World Championships before, and we can bring our experience from that to this event, and that's working out quite well.
You've been a Flying 15 sailor for a long time. We've got one here in front of us on the dock. Tell me something about it. When were they designed?
About 70 years ago now. The beauty is the one design. It's just a good racing boat. It's a good one design.
It's a two-man boat, and relatively inexpensive.
Relatively inexpensive and very easy to tow and to bring to events, and it's great fun. It's fast, it's furious, it's exciting, it's hard work, but the rewards at the end of the day, you know you've been out, you know you've given it your all, and it's exciting.
It's about, I would say, maybe 16 feet. It's like a big dinghy.
Well, I suppose technically it's 15 feet because it's a Flying 15, but it's actually 20 feet above the waterline. They're a nice size. As I say, they're good for towing.
Yeah, you've got a fixed keel.
We have a fixed keel, which means we don't have to swim so much.
Would you ever capsize?
Officially, no. But it's been known to happen that one or two will go over. But no, they're very safe, they're very steady, but they're very fast in that you don't feel that you're slowed down in any way with a fixed keel.
Just looking at the boat here in front of us, it's very much like a dinghy, except for this piece in the middle. It's looking quite complicated.
Yeah, there's a lot of ropes. sometimes we pull the wrong one, which doesn't help. But
you call it a centre console.
Centre console, yeah. Basically, there's gears. The Flying 15 is one of the few sort of dinghy boats where you can actually change gears. You can tweak a little bit here, a little bit there. You can adjust the rig tension to do with either your weight or to do with the wind pressure. So all of those allow the mast to go forward or back. You can adjust your spinnaker pole. You can adjust your kicking strap. You can adjust your Cunningham. So there's small tweaks allowed within it, and the central console allows it to be very reachable.
You've got a little bit of electronics here, but not much of tic-tac, is it?
Yeah, it's tic-tac just for your compass bearings and that. So most people use that. We, as a class rule, they're quite good at controlling the class, and that we're not allowed to go too many gadgets. And the tic-tac is as simple as it goes and works for everyone.
Because when it is a single class and one design, there are rules about everything you can have.
There are, and there are measurements. And we had a great team here doing the measurement for the Worlds. The tent over there, as you can see, held.
What does measurements entail?
Well, it actually entailed weighing the boat without the mast and any of the spars, individually measuring the mast, the boom, the spinnaker pole, and the sails were also then measured. So the team that was involved with that under David Mulvan did very well, and everyone has been measured cleanly, and it just keeps the fleet honest in a worldwide way and in all these competitions, because we only get the opportunity every 2 years to do this. That's why the one design works and works for us.
And as a boat for somebody who might be thinking of moving on from dinghy sailing, they're not that expensive?
They're not that expensive. They're not cheap, but then there's a lot of new boats that come on the scene. But the Flying 15 has kind of outlasted most of these new fads of fast boats, sports boats. There's loads of fantastic boats in the bay here, but this has the biggest class out every Thursday and every Saturday. And
the biggest class in Dunleary?
In Dunleary, yes. And it's great to see the numbers, and people actually marvel at the numbers we have, and it improves all our racing.
And you can take it out of the water each time I've seen you here, just pull it up the slip and put it on a trailer. It's a bit of a
haul, but you can do it.
It's a bit of a haul, but we do have a winch, and three people can comfortably bring it up. But the winch is great, and yeah, there's a little effort involved. But what boat doesn't have a bit of effort involved?
You're here, you're a member of the National Yacht Club. It's a big effort for the club to put something like this on.
It's massive, and we've had help from everybody. We've had Martin McCarthy's our Commodore, Roland Byrne was Commodore last year. The class itself have rowed in, all the class members have rowed in with the measurement and helping out with the measurement and the organisation.
Will an Irish boat win?
It's a big ask. Yeah. It's a big ask. We're learning as we go. We're not used to the big fleet. It would be fantastic for everyone if an Irish boat did win. A few have got close before, but never won it. The real strength is in the UK.
It must be almost Olympic standard.
Oh, gosh, yes. Steve Goetra's here. He's won this four times. He's a professional sailmaker. Ian Pennell is here. Pennell and Back Sails, well known. Hyde sailmakers, all the sailmakers are here. We just sail every Saturday and Thursday for fun. So we have to race these guys. So it's a fantastic opportunity to race these guys. An Irish boat in the top 10 would be quite good. Everyone's going to try. Everyone's going to do their best.
And the very best of luck to all the competitors over the next week. And just a mention of another event also starting this weekend. The Taste of West Cork, all down that part of the country, is well worth a visit, particularly if you like seafood.